Our scripture comes today from Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send those to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. Well, today we're starting a brand new message series titled Perspective. Post perspective in the chat. Sometimes in the midst of everyday life, things are difficult. Have you experienced that? I know I have, but remember this. In difficult times, we need perspective. We need helpful ways to look at things rather than just automatically cycle down. That's always my first temptation, to cycle downward. Oh, woe is me. Have you been there? But in this series, we're going to look through the book of Philippians, taking some high points from four different chapters, and we're going to see what the Apostle Paul can teach us about perspective. And I want to give you a little bit of the context about this letter Paul wrote, because the context will give us some insight and help bring this series to life. The letter to the Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. Paul had actually started the church. He was an apostle sent by God to lead people to Christ. And as people responded, he would raise up leaders and start churches. And this was a church he started around the year 52 AD. So about 20 years or so after the death and resurrection of Jesus, he launched this church, and he loved the Philippians dearly. You're going to see the deep affection Paul had for the people in the church at Philippi, and most scholars think that he is writing this letter about 10 years later, around 62 AD. And so he's writing in response to something the Philippians did for him. Paul was actually in a time of significant need, and people took up a very generous love offering to send him, and normally Paul wouldn't have received a financial gift. He was very intentional. He would say, hey, I've never been a burden. I've always worked. I've never imposed on you for financial help. But because of his relationship with this church, he actually accepts this gift. He was blown away by it, and he wrote a very heartfelt and emotional thank you letter and mingled in some gentle and loving instruction. Now, as we go through and look at the high points of this letter, in writing to the Philippians, one constant theme for Paul is joy. Joy. In fact, you will see joy or rejoice or similar words at least 19 different times throughout the letter. Post joy in the chat. Just four verses in, Paul says in Philippians 1:4, in all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with what? Joy, because of your partnership in the gospel. Paul had a special connection with those believers from the first day until now. These Christians were a cause of great joy in Paul's life, and we're going to see this massive joy come out of a guy who may not have had so many reasons in the natural to be joyful. As we've said, joy is a huge theme throughout this letter to these Philippians, and yet Paul himself was living as a prisoner. According to Acts 28, we know that Paul spent 2 years in Rome under house arrest, simply for preaching the gospel. Now, if you can imagine that, for 2 years, he's chained up, literally chained throughout the day to a Roman soldier. Now, if you know about Paul, one of his greatest dreams was always to take the gospel to Rome. He wanted to go to Rome as a preacher, but instead he was in Rome as a prisoner. And yet, even in the midst of this terrible circumstance, Paul had a remarkable joy. We see it reflected throughout this letter. How did he do it? What was different about Paul? Because of his faith in Jesus, Paul developed a unique perspective. Yes, under such circumstances, many of us would have been tempted to despair. Oh, woe is me! Or complain, why am I chained to this Roman soldier all day long? Or grumble, this is not my idea of what being an apostle is supposed to be all about. But that's not what Paul did. In fact, throughout the letter, he exudes this remarkable joy. And that's what we want to try and get at today. What was it that made this noticeable difference in Paul's life? Why did he have this extraordinary, exceptionally unique perspective? And while we're looking at Paul's particularly difficult circumstances, let me ask you a question. I want you to think about it and be honest. Is there something about your life that you wish was different? How many of you right now, you have something in your life that you wish was different? That you'd say, man, I just wish God would change this about my life. I wish this was different. Chances are almost all of us, at every season, we look and we say, I wish this wasn't the way that it was. It seems like when you're young, you're always wanting to be older. And when you get older, you want to be what? You want to be younger. You're like, why am I never satisfied? Sometimes you look and you say, you know, I really wish I could be doing something more meaningful with my life. This job isn't part of my passion, or this volunteer task I've taken on doesn't really fire me up, or you know, these people that I'm working with, they drive me crazy. Or sometimes you might say, I wish I didn't live where I live, or I wish I was in maybe a different city, or I wish I had some different friends. I wish I lived in a different house, or I wish I had a house. Some may say, I wish I was married. And then those who are married might say, well, I wish I had a different kind of marriage. Some without kids would say, oh, I'd give anything to have kids. And then those with kids say, I wish I had different kids, or at least that they'd behave differently. And we look at our lives and think, you know, I just wish there was something about my life that was different. Well, here are three thoughts to write down if you're taking notes. And here's the first one. We all have a what and don't understand the why. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a what, this what's going on in my life, and I don't understand why it's not different. God, why don't you do something about this what in my life? At different seasons, all of us, we have a what, and we don't understand the why. Here's another thing. Write this down. Remember, God always has a why behind the what. I love that. God always has a why. God always has a why. God is not a God who wastes our hurt. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He is good through and through. He is in control. God can take what the enemy meant for evil, and our God is so good, he can turn an attack into something good. And he can make a trial something that develops character in us. And he can build our faith through difficult times. God is working in all things to bring about good. God has a why in the what that we don't understand. Another thought, if you're taking notes, I don't have to understand the why to trust God in the what. I can trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not unto my own understanding, but in all of my ways acknowledge Him, and He will make my path straight. I don't have to understand everything to continue to trust Him. If you're in a place right now and there's something that you're thinking, I don't like it. I wish this was different. I'm not sure what to do about this. I want to give you a question to ask when life is hard. Now, I know the first question we're always tempted to ask is, why? But I'm going to encourage you to just bounce over that question. And instead of asking why, I want you to ask this question. Now what? I don't like what's going on, but God, now what? I don't understand this, God, but I trust you with the why. Now what? God, what is it that you want to show me? What is it that you want to do in me? And we see this thing happening in Philippians. Philippians 1:12, Paul says to the people in Philippi, he says, verse 12, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, pause here for a minute and let me ask you, what has happened to you? Maybe you lost a job, or maybe you woke up and you're in a bad place financially. Maybe you got a bad report from the doctor, or maybe you've had a relationship that's massively messed up right now. Maybe something has happened that you didn't count on. Paul says this, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, oh my goodness, it looks bad, but it has really served to do what? It has really served to advance the gospel. Paul is saying that what looks really bad in his life is actually something that God is doing something good through. What's happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel, to move it forward. A lot of times you're going to be thinking in a place thinking, this isn't good. I don't see God working here. I don't feel His presence. I don't understand. There's nothing good that can come out of this. I want to encourage you to stop and consider. God can give you a different perspective, a change in outlook. How? Because our God is big enough and even specializes in working through things that we don't understand. We serve a God who can turn obstacles into divine opportunities for Him to show Himself. We serve a God who can take what we call setbacks and He can actually turn them into setups for Him to be glorified and for us to make a huge impact. We could say it this way. You may feel like you're in prison. Oh my goodness, I'm chained up to this thing I don't like. Well, your prison can become your platform. In other words, there could be a purpose in your prison that you don't see. What the enemy meant for evil, God can actually use for good in the middle of the thing that you would never choose. God specializes in using those things for His glory. Your prison could become the platform where you share what God is doing. There is purpose in your prison. You may not see it, but God can give you a different perspective. In fact, isn't it just like God that the test you endure today could be the testimony you tell tomorrow? You may not see any testimony today. All you see is the test, and with it comes a lot of why questions. But what if you trust the whys to God in hopes that one day things will become clear? Remember Paul's story. What has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Verse 13, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that what? I'm in chains for Christ. It turns out Paul being in chains has resulted in the whole palace guard hearing that he is in prison, not for crimes, but for Christ. His being in prison, chained to a different guard each day, has given him a platform, a special platform with all kinds of influencers, the whole palace guard. His test has turned into a testimony. And it's also inspired others as well. Verse 14, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Man, God is all over this thing. Can you see it? He's all over this. Your misery could actually become your ministry. The test you endure today could be the testimony you tell tomorrow. So you wake up one day and you're financially strapped like you never thought you would be. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you with a why. Now what? What do you want to show me? What do you want to do in me? How do you want to show yourself through this? You hit a relationship dead end, and or you hit a dead end in your career or this stage in your life. Now what, God? I still trust you with everything in me. Now, what do you want to do through this? You find yourself in a place where you never thought you'd end up. Now what, God? I got to that place my junior year in high school. I was playing football. Have I ever told you about that? I expected a year of sitting on the bench in my junior year in the shadow of our star quarterback, senior, who was going to take us to the state championship. And then the first game of the season, he got hurt. Out for the season with a broken collarbone, and now I'm in there as quarterback leading the team. Well, we battled hard all season long. We came so close in game after game. We didn't lose any of them by more than 3 to 10 points, but when it was all over, we were 0-9. Didn't win a game. I was devastated. Now what, God? I didn't know if I ever wanted to play football again. But I had some friends who were committed Christians. They didn't lose hope. They kept looking up, kept looking to Christ, tried to encourage me to do the same. I didn't know Christ like they did then. I knew of Jesus, but they found real strength in Him. No matter what was going on around them, they had this real hope and joy. My life was upside down, a mess. They were doing okay. I didn't get it. What was the difference? All I could see was defeat. They found strength in the midst of defeat. They found strength from the Savior. When I was dwelling on failure, they were resting in God's favor. They just had a different perspective. We had the same trying season, just different testimonies. Here's what I eventually came to learn. A life centered in Jesus Christ is cause for hope and joy. My friends weren't all consumed by winning football like I was. They had come to know a higher authority, and that higher authority was the source of their hope and joy. Paul knew about that higher authority too. It helped him to have a different perspective. In verses 18 and 19, he said, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice in spite of the imprisonment and these chains. For I know that through what? Your prayers. And what? The help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out how? For my deliverance." One way or another, Paul says, it's going to work out for me. Whether I stay here in these chains or eventually go on to be with the Lord, it's okay. Because of Christ, I can handle it either way. Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That is a powerful perspective, an amazing viewpoint. So whatever your circumstances, let me close by saying this. In the face of whatever hardships, Jesus enables you to have a hopeful perspective. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious God, I thank you for the hope that we have because of Jesus. Some here today are in the midst of very difficult circumstances, or we've perhaps known hardship in the past, and we know that when our life circumstances are hard, it's easy to lose hope, to begin to despair. We know what it is to have a what in our life and not understand the why. Why is this happening, God? The Apostle Paul must have been familiar with the question too. He had his share of hardship. And yet we've seen, while being under arrest and in chains for his faith, Paul had a unique perspective. He had joy. His life had meaning and purpose, even though his faith could lead to death. What an uncommon perspective. What caused him to think this way? Where did he get his outlook? He got it from his relationship with Jesus. Because of Jesus' victory over death in the grave, Paul developed a perspective of hope and trust. Because of his faith in Jesus, Paul knew joy in the midst of his hardship. Oh, Lord, give us that perspective. Give us that same hope and joy. We realize that we're in a battle. Often we experience heartache and pain, yet there's always hope. There's always hope because Jesus was raised and lives today and is present with us. That's the game changer. The life changer. Come, Lord Jesus, come and fill us with your hope and joy again this day. It's in your name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I would love to hear from you. Get a hold of me. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send those to us. We want to be praying for you. And thank you again for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us to reach new people for Jesus and his kingdom. You can go online, you can use the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, in the face of hardships, Jesus enables you to have a hopeful perspective. For now, who do you know that needs to hear and experience that?
What you doing?
I'm practicing for Pasta Playhouse.
You are?
Yep. On my tiny guitar.
That's a ukulele. But you know what? That's not important. Because okay. You can't do this.
Well, why not?
Because you're terrible. I mean, you don't have time to learn.
Yes.
There's going to be all these amazing musicians.
Right.
Singers.
Right.
Oh, I can sing! Oh! No.
No?
No.
Okay, well, what then? Yeah. Maybe I could tell jokes. Maybe we could tell jokes.
Nah. Well, maybe.
Student Ministry is proud to present Pasta Playhouse on August 27th, a night of music, laughs, and pasta.
Doors open at 5:30 p.m., dinner is at 6.
And I definitely won't be singing at 6:30.
Right. Tickets go on sale August 13th for $7.
Or $10 at the door.
Please come out and support our students.
Okay, so how many apples grow on a tree?
How many apples grow on a tree? How could I possibly know this?
All of them.
The Hurting Parents Support Group will meet on August 20th at 5 p.m. Parenting is never easy. This monthly group provides resources for parents of adult children. Contact Kathy Feist or Jill Prey for more information on how to participate.
On Thursday, August 24th, Christ Church will be the meal sponsor for the weekly feeding of the homeless under the bridge for City Lights. We'll need at least 10 people to serve the meal. If you're interested in volunteering, please let Pastor Jim know.
Pasta Playhouse is back, and I, for one, feel silly. The youth are hosting a night of music, mayhem, and of course, pasta. Join us August 27th. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Ticket sales begin today, August 13th.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.